Welcome to the newest episode of Not Enough Wrestling. Tonight is just me and the Phoenix on her day 2 week on being on the show.
What's up, y'all?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling great.
A little nervous? It's just always. Me and you.
Always.
You got the spotlight now, so.
That works.
All right, cool. So let's get right into it. For Raw, what'd you think about Raw for the most part? Anything particular that stood out to you for Raw that you liked, or
I mean, I liked the Sasha Banks talking to Bayley, and they're gonna have another match here soon.
Well, that's SmackDown.
Yeah, that was SmackDown. Okay. Hold up. It started with, what's his name? McIntyre. There you go. It started with McIntyre Monday. And he had a lot to say. I feel like he might go after his belt again, or after the belt again against Randy Orton, but I don't know if Randy Orton going to fall for it that easily. He might have to fight his way to it. So hopefully we see another great match between them two. The women's team for Survivor Series. I mean, I like Nia Jax and her partner, but I don't like Lana, so I don't know how that's really going to work out for them. She might be, I mean, I see they're trying to promote her a little bit, so she might be the one that gets to win the team, but I don't know. She might be the weak link in the group, so we'll see how that goes. The men's team is coming up pretty good, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Like the first four are solid. Lana is the outcast of the group.
Yeah.
Because once Nia Jax put her through a table again, so she does come out. She does come up as the outcast. But like you said, I could see if they go down that route that if they decide to do the Raw team wins, it would be because of Lana.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's just like a Nia Jax thing. She doesn't respect her or whatever like that. So maybe maybe next week on Raw, they'll have to do a duel.
Right.
A one-on-one match between Lana so she can kind of get Jax's, respect. And I mean, maybe
it ain't going to work.
you don't think it's going to work? You just...
No, Nia done put her through a table. What, this is the fifth time? Like, I felt like maybe the announcer desk.
I mean, maybe just like a toughen her up thing, because she's always been kind of like when she was with Russo, she was always in the back, shadows. And then like now she's doing her singles career, right. Even when she was doing the Bobby Lashley thing, she was always in the background. So they don't think she's tough enough.
Right. Actually, that whole scenario of her leaving Rusev and getting with Bobby and the marriage and all, I mean, when I'm telling you that gave me a headache. I was like, can we get this over with, please? Like, just put her somewhere else already. Like, this is annoying. Like, it was too, for me, the reason why I stated in the first episode that I was in that I liked the Attitude Era, there wasn't as much talking as there is now. There wasn't as much drama as there is now. It was like, it's way too much. Like, SmackDown used to have a lot more matches. Now they have more commentary, more talking, more skits, more this, and there's not really there's less matches than there is there's more talking and less matches. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, I mean, they're running with 2 hours as opposed. I feel like Raw has more talking than matches because the show is 3 hours,
right?
Like a pay-per-view, so you kind of have to drag out the show a little bit, so it's going to be a little bit more. You would think that the storylines would be better because they have a longer time right. limit, but it feels like the storylines aren't as good as they're supposed to be.
They're running out of things to do. Like, you're running out of people to pin up against each other. Like, a lot of people, especially right now because of COVID, are out or have been fired. And it's like you don't even know what to do anymore. So you're putting people up against each other that you probably weren't even going to put up against each other anytime soon. Like, The Fiend coming after Randy Orton. Like, that's not something y'all probably wanted to do right now, but y'all have no other choice. He done beat up everybody else.
And, like, speaking of that, like, I actually, it's an interesting storyline because you got the champion who's a heel.
Yeah.
you got the Fiend, who is the heel,
yeah,
and Drew McIntyre is the face, and they're all essentially, they sound like they're all chasing the championship. Well, the Fiend is going after Orton because Bray Wyatt absolutely the Abigail storyline, where he burned down the house that's belonging to his sister.
Yeah.
You know, so the Fiend has been the character for Bray Wyatt to get retribution on those who've wronged him in his past.
But he also been going after them belts. Like, he want a belt.
Yeah, he won the belt, but I don't think the belt was just something to have. He didn't really care about having the belt. That's why when he lost it to Goldberg, it didn't really matter to him. You know, so it's not more of the title. It's just the fact that those who wronged Bray Wyatt are going to feel the wrath of the Fiend.
Right.
Orton never got his revenge on Orton, so the Fiend is going to go get that revenge for him. And if taking the belt gets his revenge, then he'll do what he had to take to get it.
I'm thinking eventually it's going to lead up to a triple threat.
It may lead to, I was thinking the same thing. I'm thinking it's going to be a triple threat also. With the Fiend coming out as champion and the whole storyline. But like, there were rumors that they wanted to do Edge versus Orton, but they never really wanted to give Edge the title. I mean, Orton the title. They just kind of wanted to do another match between Edge and Orton. But now that Orton has the title, and if whenever Edge comes back, it's going to be maybe Edge versus Orton for the title.
Right.
And you know, so it's that whole confusion going on of what's going to happen with this whole scenario. Like, but once it sounds intriguing, it doesn't sound like it's going in a path, like a linear path that we all know what's going to happen.
Right.
So it can go in any direction, and any direction would be great.
Yeah.
You would give the Fiend the title, or in the Edge can still do the thing, and then you could do Fiend versus McIntyre.
Right. I think that's one of the best storylines on Raw right now is them three.
Yeah. You know. And like right now, they have the Survivor Series tournament going off to be the first five or the 5-on-5 team. You already got AJ. You already got Keith Lee as for Team Raw.
Right.
So now they got to pick the other three. Now Sheamus was one of them. Now I'm hoping after this whole storyline is done, this is what I want to see: is Sheamus go after McIntyre?
Yeah, that would be nice. Except for, aren't they on different shows?
No, they're on the same brand now.
Oh, okay. You sure?
That's why I said that, because I felt that Sheamus beat Matt Riddle. Sheamus beat Matt. The match of the night for me for Raw was Sheamus versus Riddle to get into the qualifying match.
Yeah, you're right. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, you're right. Yeah. I actually was cheering on that match, like, come on, Riddle, you can do it. Like, I like Sheamus.
I'm not a Riddle fan. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy that Sheamus won. I mean, the dude has great athlete. He's a great athlete. I just don't like him as his personality.
I get it. It's the same with Sami Zayn for me. Like, I'm so happy that Bobby Lashley is gonna rip him a new one at Survivor Series. If they make Sami Zayn walk out the champion or the winner of that match, I'm gonna be mad.
You know what? Sami Zayn is a slight individual, so I can see Sami winning, but we're gonna do an episode where we give our predictions on that. So I'm gonna hold back on that. But yeah, yeah. I said, like, right now for Raw, that's what's going on.
So
on
the men's team, we got still two open positions on Raw, right?
Yeah, because you got, like I said, you got AJ, Keith Lee, and Sheamus are the top, are the three that's already made it. So you need two more spots.
I mean, so far that I'm feeling like that's a good team. Keith Lee is definitely right now kind of unstoppable with the way he's fighting, with his anger and his aggression that he's putting out there. Sheamus, obviously, it's always been a powerhouse. AJ Styles, he got his moments, you know what I'm saying? And this big dude he got behind him is like obviously his key to winning everything. So far, so good, bro.
Yeah. How do you like about AJ's new associate? How do you feel about that? Do you like the new associate? Like, what are your thoughts on the new associate being part of AJ?
I don't get it. Like, this is supposed to, you know, every show you go to is supposed to be the house that AJ Styles built. It's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, you doing your thing, getting where you need to get. And now you got this big black dude out of nowhere just that don't talk. He don't like to be looked at. and he just pops up out of nowhere, catching people out of midair. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, cool. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But I just don't get it.
Like, technically, that should have been a disqualification because he did put his hands on Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Whether, so technically, that should have been disqualification. I mean, I don't see WWE changes the rules when they want to.
Yep.
And this is the moment where they change the rule. Like, he caught AJ out of midair. Now, I mean, he caught Hardy out of midair. Now, if he
Yep.
would have just stood in front of Hardy as Hardy got ready to jump and made Hardy rethink jumping,
Right.
that makes more sense. But he literally caught the dude in midair,
Or took the
which
hit
technically,
for AJ instead of catching him, you know what I'm saying? Taking the hit and falling down or whatever. Yeah, that would have been different, but you caught him in midair, stood him up, and then showed him a I was like, wow, okay. All right, this guy. Who's
so
this
like
guy?
technically that should have been disqualification, but
Right.
you know,
I think
I
when I used to go to the NXT shows, I think I seen him walking around in the back one time though.
yeah, because he was doing the thing for, I think they got rid of Raw Underground, so he is, that's why they didn't know what to do with him, so I guess they just put him with AJ. And I think AJ is a good person. I mean, AJ is a good person to put him with. I think AJ is giving him advice because he's a worker,
Yeah.
he can work in a ring. So I think AJ is with him to help give him advice to help make him the character that he's going to become moving forward if they use him correctly.
Right. I mean, after he gets the knowledge that he needs, 9 times out of 10, he's probably gonna turn on AJ, just to break ties with him.
Yeah, it'll get to the point where he feels like, okay, he's comfortable where he can work by himself. Then they'll do the storyline where AJ's pissed off because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and the big dude turns on AJ, and it's a, like you said, a big feud rolls out, and then the guy gets to show his skills and his true abilities, and then we see where how his future lies with WWE after that. So you're right. That's where they'll end up taking the storyline.
But I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, let me see if I got one more thing on here for that. No, that was it for that. For now, we're gonna move on to NXT. Now
Okay.
for NXT, they was their Halloween Havoc pay-per-view,
Oh
which
my God.
did you enjoy it? Like,
Yes, I enjoyed it. Like I said, sometimes I'll be rooting for somebody to win and they don't win, so I'm like a little sad and disappointed. I don't know who was helping, what's his name? Little short.
Gargano.
Yeah, I don't know who was helping Gargano win, but if it wasn't for that dude, he would have never won that match.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I was saying the same thing. I was like, yo, who's like, I don't know. I couldn't tell who it was.
Me
So,
neither.
like, you know, and he came out for a Candice LeRae match too.
But she ain't win.
He or she, whoever that was, they came up for Candice LeRae match also. But, you know, Candice didn't get the W in her match.
No.
She didn't win the title on that one, but.
Which I was thinking that in the beginning that Gargano won, and they're trying to do this powerhouse couple where they both have the championship. So I was like, man, Candice is gonna win her match. They're gonna take the belt from Io. I'm like, no, they can't. Like, come on, Io, you gotta win this match. Like, I was rooting for Io the whole time. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. When she won,
I mean,
I'm in my bed. I'm like, yes.
I'm more shocked that they took the belt from Priest
Me too.
like so soon.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think like his title run would end that quickly. I thought it would at least give him a couple of months with the belt, but then he just turned around like this would be his second title defense, and then he drops it.
Right.
So I was like,
And they
maybe
really,
they don't have, maybe they don't trust him as much as that we thought they did,
right.
or
And not only
you
that,
know.
but both of his title matches was against Gargano. Didn't he have one or two against somebody else? So I think he had four altogether.
Yeah, I think he did fight somebody else,
Loomis,
in
didn't he
between them, I
fight
think.
Loomis for the belt?
Was it Loomis?
He did fight Loomis for the belt because Grimes came out at the and interfered, and then at the end stomped him in the chest. That's why they ended up having the match at Halloween Havoc, which that reminded me of the one that the Fiend and John Cena did, where it was just a bunch of joking around and nothing serious type match. Like, it didn't make any sense. It was like, really, like, you gonna like have this guy running through wherever.
It reminded me more of Orton and Bray Wyatt's match that they had when they feuded like 2 years ago. A House of Horrors match. It was the same concept. They fought in the house or whatever like that.
Yeah, but they didn't even stay in the house long. They were just there. He ran around a little bit, got scared, Loomis popped up everywhere, and then he ran all the way back to the stadium, and somehow Loomis beat him there. Like,
It's like for some reason I can't say the word horror films or scary, so I'm gonna say scary movies. More like those killer movies where like Jason and Mike Myers just pop out of nowhere. You running 30 miles and these mofos find a way to end up in front of you. Like they took the city bus all the way to where you're supposed to be at, and they caught you or
Uber.
something like that.
He called an Uber.
Yeah, it's something. I'm thinking city bus. City bus takes forever, but yeah, he took an Uber or Lyft. And somehow, some way, they end up in front of each. I don't know. It's weird. Like I didn't really care for that because I don't like matches that don't have any rules.
Yeah.
Like because there's no concept. We don't know how the match is supposed to end. Is it supposed to end by pinfall? Is it supposed to end by submission? I mean,
Right. I mean, I like.
he clearly choked out Grimes,
Right.
which is how it ended. But
But I like the
there
ones.
was no referee.
I like the ones with no rules per se, as far as like Gargano and pre-smash, like false count anywhere, no disqualifications, all that. I like those ones because it does make the match a little bit more unpredictable. You really don't know who's gonna win or what's gonna happen next. But when it comes to them adding so much theme into the match, now it's like, okay, is this a movie or are we watching wrestling? Like, can we get back to
Yeah, like I mean,
the fighting, please?
the Gargano match was like Devil's Playground. Okay, what's the rules to the Devil's Playground? Never even heard of that before, but essentially it was just a false count anywhere,
Right.
just no disqualification match. So you're like, okay, got it.
They just changed
But
the name for Halloween.
huh?
They just changed the name for Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I got it, but it's just like, at least somebody announced what the rules are before the match starts.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, just let us know, like, so we know what we're watching here. So it's just like, okay, Devil's Playground means what per se.
Right, the
So,
commentator said it after the wheel stopped. He was like, "Oh, Devil's Playground, falls count anywhere, no disqualifications, this, but nobody's really listening to you because the match has already started."
yeah.
So,
So you're just kind of like winging it, like.
right.
So now, after that, you had Pat McAfee show up with his I guess he got his own personal squad. He for the start
Yeah.
to feud with the Undisputed Era, which and originally the original plan or original thought was what we talked about on the show was that the Undisputed was going to separate.
Yeah. I thought they were
But
too.
now, like now they look like they're going to be stuck together and they're going to be feuding with Pat McAfee and his new squad that he started. And he just added a new member
Pete Dunne.
in Pete Dunne.
I love Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne is like so raw in the ring. Like when he was the bruiserweight, like when he had the belt, like every match I was making sure I was watching. Like he was bad. I used to go to the NXT shows for like $10, and I've been to like two of them, and it was just like I was so like, oh, I want to see Pete Dunne so bad, but I don't think I ever got to see him live in person. But oh man, like when he came out, I was like, yes, it's about time he came back. My coworker was telling me he wasn't there because he was stuck where he lives in across seas, and they didn't want to bring him over here because of COVID or whatever. But now that he's back, oh man, and he turned heel, oh man, this is gonna be good. I don't like Pat McAfee. He talked too much, way too much. Like, you're not even a wrestler, dude. Shut up. But hey, with Pete Dunne on your team, I think y'all gonna do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like it's gonna be a solid storyline with the Undisputed Era versus I don't know if they're gonna get Pat McAfee a group name or whatever like that, but it's gonna be 4-on-4 because you got four Undisputed Era members and you got four
Yeah.
of his crew along. But they had that big dude, but he's gonna be out for a while.
Yeah.
I think originally the big dude was supposed to be part of the group, but
Right.
since he got hurt, they had to add Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
So it makes sense,
Actually,
why they.
from what Pat said, he wasn't even going to use the tag team dudes. He was only going to use the big dude until his leg turned into Swiss cheese by the tag team dudes.
Yeah,
So
but I mean,
I think at
but just
the beginning, I think it was
you
just
and the big dude by yourself, you and the big dude by yourself can't defeat the Undisputed Era. I'm sorry, like.
I don't think Pat was going to come back. I think he was going to let Dude destroy each one of them one by one. The character they were giving him was almost indestructible at the time. So the first person he had him attack was what's his name?
It's cool.
Adam Cole, right? So he didn't attack everybody. He just attacked Cole. So it was probably going to be a one-on-one between them once Cole felt better, his fake rib injury was healed. And from there, it was probably going to go on to the next one and the next one and the next one. But they had to change the whole scenario when the dude's leg turned to Swiss cheese. That's what I thought
Yeah,
was
I don't know. I just it to me when I think this works better
going to
with the
happen.
four on four than have just this big dude just taking down all members of the Undisputed Era, because eventually they were all going to come at him at once, and you can't stop.
Right, all four of them.
Four against one is not going to work. So,
Right.
but four on four would make a way better storyline. And now, I don't know if it's going to be ready for the time they do Survivor Series, because I don't even think NXT is part of Survivor
They're
Series,
not.
which
They're
kind of
not.
sucks.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they did, but like they did last year. But
Yeah, it was so
WWE
much
is
better with
trying
the
to
three of
keep,
them.
I mean, you could have their North American champion go against Raw's and SmackDown's champions, and their tag team champions go against Raw's SmackDown. That was the whole thing that I feel like they should have been doing every year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But now, nah, but it's like honestly, NXT is not part of their universe. NXT is like it's so far away. Like we only use you when we want you to come on board. But outside of that, you don't jump. You don't cross this bridge.
Right. And the funny thing is, I read an article that I guess they were planning on like closing NXT, like shutting it down at some point, which is why I think they brought up Retribution, because most of the NXT wrestlers are in Retribution. So when whatever deal they had fell through, so they were like, never mind, we'll just keep NXT here. But now you have Retribution out there, and now you have them out there for no reason, because they should have stayed at NXT. So I just feel like everything kind of fell apart for them. So now they don't know what to do with Retribution. That's why they're still bouncing around like, we deserve this, and y'all were doing fine on NXT, just fine.
They just need to do a storyline where the Hurt Business versus Retribution, and whoever wins has to disband in a sense.
Right.
And then once Retribution loses again, they have to disband. And
Right.
it sucks because Mustafa Ali stuck his neck out for them,
Right.
to be the leader of this group. And, it's not panning out the way it was supposed to pan out. So, like, kind of like now, where do you go? I
Right.
don't know where you go with Retribution. Like I said, you if
Send them back to
them
NXT.
getting rid of NXT is a bad is would be a bad move,
Me too. I think
because
so too.
I think NXT is literally the hottest thing for WWE,
Right.
and Vince does not like that it's not his product that's hotter than his.
But it is his product though. Like, it's
No, technically it's Triple H. Technically it's Triple H
right, but
who
that's
came over
still,
the.
that's family. So either way, it's still in the family. Like,
I don't. To me, Vince does not care for Triple H.
no.
He only I Vince. Oh, Vince does not care for Triple H. Vince, to me, Vince just like whatever. You marry my daughter, I have to like you. It's kind of like one of those things you meet, you date somebody, they meet the family. The family's like, well, he's their problem, not mine. So
Yeah.
I don't really care for it, but you're here. Might
Right.
as well deal with it.
The funny thing
And
that I always think about is, do you remember back in the day where it was Triple H versus Tess for Stephanie's hand in marriage?
yes.
And Triple H broke Tess's nose?
I think so. I think I remember that. Yeah.
But I always thought that was just, for show. So even now, seeing them two in the ring, like, I get it, y'all both business people, so y'all hold your persona properly, but y'all don't even look like a married couple. Y'all don't even act like a married couple. Okay, granted, she smacks people in the face for him, but still, like, y'all really don't look married. I'm still not a believer of that marriage.
Oh, I mean, it's probably, how most people get married for business
And that's,
decisions, and
yeah.
they maybe yeah, maybe I'm like, I don't want to get too personal in a relationship, but it could be one of those business type of marriages. I'm just gonna leave it that way.
Yeah, I think
And
that's what it is too.
but maybe they do love each other. I don't know, but like, it's still to me, I feel like Vince does not accept the fact that Triple H has a hotter product. Like Triple H understands the business longer than Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon's been doing this business way longer than him.
Yeah, but Vince should be okay with the simple fact that all the hot talent that starts in NXT. It's like Triple H preps them for your show. So, I mean, yeah, okay, it might be hotter than what you got going on right now, but that same superstar, those superstars that are hot right now, are going to be hot on your show. Like, now that Keith Lee done switched brands, like, everybody loves Keith Lee. Like, he's going to blow up on WWE. Like, as long as they don't use him in a wasteful way, he's going to blow up. Like, and it just, I don't, Vince just needs to chill out. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, we all been saying the same thing since the same story. Vince gets these guys, and when he finally gets them, then he turns around like, I don't like. To me, Vince comes as bipolar. One day he's good, and one day he's like, he's out of it, and that's why none of these characters can go any further because one day he'll like them, the next day he won't like them, and it's like, bro, we don't need bipolar people here. Like that's gonna be knocking people down. Like you brought these guys over, it's time to use them. Bobby Roode should have been world WWE champion or universal champion a
Long.
long, long time ago. But now you got him jacked up with Dolph Ziggler on SmackDown. And I'm like, bro, he is a way better talent than that. And you're using him. They gotta call him Robert Roode, and his name is Bobby Oak, but whatever his name is, but you gotta change his gimmick and all this stuff like that. And I'm
Had
just like, bro. And then
a mustache and goatee or whatever, like, why?
I mean, I was back in TNA when I used to work at TNA. I was a huge Bobby Roode fan when he was doing the It Factor gimmick. Like I was really into Bobby. And when I first seen Bobby Russell, I was like, man, whatever. But then as he progressed and he became champion, he became this heel, like that persona, like he was really being himself, and I really liked that. And the glory, and when the Glorious gimmick, when he did Glorious, I loved the gimmick. I was like, yo, this is truly him. And I mean, I don't know, like I said, it's just WWE has, I ain't gonna say WWE, Vince has a problem that he can't not get out of his own way and allow talent to be great, and allow his son to help build the brand for the future. Because your whole thing is when you watch WWE, it says the past, the present, and the now. Nobody is really, we don't know who's the now because we can't see them. You're not letting them grow, so they can't be the now or the present or the now. They can't be either because you won't allow them to move forward and be great.
He's holding him back. He really is. He really is
So
holding him back.
that's what's been killing it. But I know we strayed away from NXT's Halloween Havoc. So
Back to back.
trying to get back to that. Kind of everybody's like, yo, what? They just went all the way around the world and back again.
Io match though, that was a really good match though. I can honestly say Candice did her thing, you know what I'm saying? She held out. She did fight, put up a good fight. I don't like the fact that she always cheats, but whatever, it's a part of the show. So,
It's the Gargano way.
So I mean, the match itself was good. You know what I'm saying? Like, from the high flying to the chairs to the ladders to the, I don't know what they was doing in the beginning though. First they would set up tables on one side, they would set up ladders on the other side, chairs everywhere. I'm like, what are y'all doing? I kept saying, Io, like, don't leave her to gain her strength back. Like, you got to keep her down. Like, I'll be talking to the TV. I'm okay. I'll be okay though.
Yeah, I mean, when I sit back, I watch it. A lot of times, I analyze it too much, and so a lot of stuff I'm like, because I try to like when you know how people knock wrestling for it not being realistic. I'm like, in a real fight, you probably wouldn't do half the stuff they're doing because you know. So like, I'm not really big on gimmicky matches like tables, ladders, and chairs unless you do it where it makes sense. We're like, okay, I can understand why this dude's still laid out. He got hurt pretty hard by whatever he did. But then sometimes they just do ladder. They do matches where it's like, bro, you're giving this dude like maybe a whole 3 minutes to lay out on the ground, bro. And like, I would not take a move sitting there for 3 minutes. I see you climbing up the ladder like, hell no, I'm getting out the way.
Like when Io put all those chairs in the ring just to try to put Candace on top of the chairs so you could do your moonsault off the top rope. Like, you gave her too much time. I knew she was gonna move. Like, so a lot of people who watch wrestling with me They'd be like, man, stop talking. Because I'd be like, watch, she gonna move. I'd be calling it before it happened. Like, because I've watched it for so long, like I can kind of predict who's gonna do what before they do it. So yeah, I'd be watching it like, oh, this is not gonna be good for Io. She's gonna land right on the chair.
Yeah, like it's just the time that they spend to make this to do all this stuff. I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, bro, wrestling is always gonna get that heat, and maybe they just don't care anymore. Maybe they understand that it's fantasy, and nobody in real life will lay down for this long. But
Right.
you're incorporating a lot of mixed martial arts into your world
Yeah.
that you never really did a lot, and now people have to like, okay, MMA fighters, like, I would never do this in a fight, or the way they're setting it up would never be set up that way in real life. You know what I'm saying? And
Right.
so, like, people will go back and watch it, like, yo, that's why I'll always get that heat. And I love wrestling, you know what I'm saying? But I do analyze it and I do critique it in the way that it should be more common sense wise and
Yeah.
more realistic. Like, the common sense factor needs to kick in when you start wrestling, when you're working in these matches. It's
Yeah.
like, it needs to make sense
Yeah.
outside of just doing it just because you've been going down the same formula of doing something.
Right. And it's like even when we watch it, we watch certain wrestlers and we can tell, okay, so normally after you do this, you do this. So if we know that and we're not even in the ring with you, it makes you think like obviously the person you're in the ring with knows what you're gonna do next. And if they allow that to happen, knowing that it's gonna happen, like it's like, come on, man, like you could have so deferred that somewhere else. Like it could have went somewhere else. It could have did something else. Something else could have happened. You could have did a new move. You could have made up a move. I don't know. I'm with you on that one. The common sense factor is something they need to bring either into it, because I don't know if it's ever really been there, but I do think they need to use it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just like I because when I used to train to be a wrestler, because that was originally my dream was to do that. I would always, yeah, that was something I wanted to do. I trained for a little bit.
Ain't gonna lie, I watch wrestling like I could do that. I could do that. No, and I can't.
I mean, like I maybe got maybe 2 months into it, and it wasn't that I wasn't like committed to it. It's just financially, I just couldn't keep up with it.
Right.
So that was my biggest issue financially, but that was something I really wanted to do. And a lot of times I sat back and asked, like, yo, why are we doing it this way when I would do it differently this way? And
Yeah.
never got around to ask those questions, but those were always the questions that would run through my mind. Like, why would somebody be thrown from one turnbuckle to the next turnbuckle, knowing that if I would just throw him back into the same turnbuckle I came from, you know what I'm saying? It
Yeah.
would do more damage. And it's just like the common sense, like nobody's gonna really run themselves into a whole nother turnbuckle pad.
Right.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Like,
Right.
I'm just gonna run into a turnbuckle pad myself. Like, no, bro, I know how to stop.
Right.
The momentum from you throwing me is not strong enough where I can't just put the brakes on.
Right. And they always turn around after the person throws you right before you hit the buckle. You turn around on your own, so you could have easily stopped. Like,
Yeah, like it's the common sense factor in it, and that just blows my mind a lot of times. And
yeah.
because then when people are watching it with you who don't watch wrestling, and they're really like adamant that wrestling's so fake, like, yo, see, I would never do that.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. And I'm like, I can't debate you with that because it doesn't make sense.
I'll be the one watching it and be like, look, he missed. He didn't even hit him right there. Like he completely missed. Like there was no actual contact right there, but okay. Not a problem.
Yeah.
But out of Halloween Havoc, what was your favorite match?
I didn't really have a favorite match, to be honest with you. Like, it felt like another, outside of the theme of it felt like a regular show.
Yeah.
You're missing the heavyweight title, but we know Finn Balor's out. The North American title match was kind of short because from where I watched it, there was a commercial break, so you missed majority of the match.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't get to see. I just by the time they came back for commercial break, they were on getting ready to go on the stage.
Right. With mine, with the way that I watch it, they made it picture in picture so you can see the commercial on one side and then wrestling is real small on the other side. But at the same time, I hate that because they played the sound from the commercial and not from the wrestling, and it's really small. So I'm watching on my phone. So I'm like, okay, I think I know what's going on. But I don't like the fact that they called Shotzi Blackheart the host, but you've only seen her twice.
It was like, yeah, there was only like two matches that was really like deal or make a wish, whatever the thing was at
Yeah,
the
spin a
time.
wheel,
Like, you
make a
know.
deal.
Yeah, spin it will make a deal. Like,
I think all
oh,
the
there's only two.
matches should have been spin
Yeah,
a wheel.
all the matches should have had some type of stipulation outside of Grimes and Loomis, because we already knew what that
We
was.
already had one, yeah.
But you know, but everybody else should have been spin the wheel, get a deal, or make a deal, and we go from there. It would have made sense. But for only have two matches, like to me, that's the way Extreme Rules, WWE's Extreme Rules should be done.
Yeah.
You spin the wheel, whatever the match is, that's the match you do. You know, as opposed to just like, oh, we're gonna pick a stipulation. It's gonna be everybody's gonna have a tables match, or somebody's gonna have a steel chairs match, or somebody's gonna have a TLC match. Like,
Have you seen the white chocolate?
it's like that. To me, I think this should have been, well, I can't say this should have been like a pay-per-view for itself, like without commercials, because it was still missing the World Heavyweight title match. And I mean, but like I said, it still could have been they could have had an NXT show, and then like that Saturday do an actual
Yeah.
NXT pay-per-view
I think
called Halloween Havoc.
for what the last few months, NXT really hasn't had a pay-per-view on a pay-per-view day, if I'm not mistaken. It's
Well,
all
the
been
last one
on
they did was,
regular show days.
yeah, the last one they did was 31. That was the last Saturday or Sunday pay-per-view, because out there doing all their pay-per-views on Sunday, which, like, I didn't like the idea. Like, I liked the fact that it did NXT pay-per-views before the WWE pay-per-view. So it would have been, if they would have did it this way, it would have been Halloween Havoc, then Hell in a Cell.
Right.
Saturday would have been Halloween Havoc, Sunday would have been Hell in a Cell, and we move forward for the next pay-per-view, what you guys decide to do. Like, you know, that's how it should have been. That's how they should have stuck with it.
Yeah. But
But
once
maybe
again,
Vince was feeling like people were gonna get, like, maybe they felt some type of way about that. I don't know, but
COVID's changing everything. My coworker, he gets emails to where he can actually go to the NXT shows now. They're allowing a few regular people to go in and stay in with the crowd. So I think it's pretty cool. So I seen him on one of the shows. I was like, I seen you. I seen you.
I'm thinking about going to one of the shows one of these days. I just, you know, whenever I get some free time, I'll probably go out there and check it out, because I've never been to an NXT show, even before the coronavirus. Like, I've never been to one, so I might just need to just take
It's
one of
good.
these days
It's the
and
first
just
one,
go.
the first NXT that I went to was my very first live wrestling event, and I was so stoked. I was like, oh my God, like I'm so close. I actually got a high five from what's the name from, dang, what's his name? From Street Profits, this tall skinny one.
Oh, not Dawkins, but is it Montez?
Montez,
Montez.
yes, I got a high five from him.
But since you're talking to Montez, we can go right into SmackDown.
Yes.
Go right into SmackDown. So we had Reigns and Jey Uso. They had their competition in the ring, and
Yeah.
it was an emotional promo. And, you know, Roman Reigns is still kept his cool and was like, "You're gonna join me. You're gonna fall in line." And you know, that's just, yeah, I need a decision by the end of the night. So we had that happen.
I thought they were going to prolong it a little more than what they did.
What, him like turning?
Like, because the article that I read was that Jay was gonna, fight joining his cousin for a while. So I'm thinking maybe like an episode or two, he gonna, not join right away. It was just last week y'all fought. Now the next week you join. Like it was too fast for me. I think it should have went a little longer, I'm gonna be honest. But I actually am pretty excited about the upcoming SmackDowns because now with Jay being heel, he's never been a heel. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out.
No, you can't say they've been a heel before when they were doing the Usos Penitentiary, when Jay and Jimmy, they were heels at one point.
I just don't feel like they were heel though. Like y'all were still
They
not
were just being themselves. You think they were just being themselves?
right. Like now you're actually going to be bad. You're actually going to do bad things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking forward to seeing how these three, especially when his brother come back from his injury, play out playing heels. Like, I really want to see that.
Yeah, like you said, I'm agreed. The heel turn was kind of quick. It should have taken a couple. It should have just went all the way to Survivor Series,
Right.
or say, Daniel Bryan won his match against. Say let's do this. The match would have been Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso to be number one contender.
Right.
Daniel Bryan wins. He goes against Roman Reigns. Now, then this will be like the next week's show. Then Jay might have turning on Daniel Bryan would have made sense for him joining.
Yeah.
But, like you said, he kind of just joined really quick, was like, yeah, I understand. I understand. Like, there's something that happened between the time that he left to the end of the show. Something happened, and he just, like, he was forced to turn.
Yeah,
It didn't feel like he wanted to turn, but he was forced.
somebody gave me the idea that maybe he's setting up Roman for when his brother come back to let him think that, he joined, and then when his brother come back, then they set Roman up and jump him. But I'm like, I don't think that's really how they're gonna play this out. Because it who knows when he's coming back? He has a knee injury. Who knows when he's actually coming back? And how long is he gonna play like he's a heel just to get some payback? Like, I just don't think that's worth it. So I hope that doesn't happen.
Now we had the first qualifying match for SmackDown was OKO and Ziggler, and that was a great match. Like, that was instant classic for me. Like, I was like,
It
okay, they
was. Bobby Roode got kicked out of
it's hard
the
watching Raw and SmackDown, and you watch the whole show and you don't find a match that you actually like. Like I said, for Raw, Sheamus and Riddle was a great match for that night, and then for this night. For SmackDown, they had KO versus Dolph Ziggler, and that was a classic match, and I thought that was really good.
It was.
KO getting the W, I'm cool with it.
Yep. I don't even know what
I've never
he is right now. Is he a good guy? Is he heel? Is he in between?
he's a
Is he undecisive
he's
right
a face. He's a face.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's a face right now.
Yeah. But I like the fact that he got the W2. He's gonna make a good addition to the team. Him and Jay. I mean, SmackDown's trying. They're trying to get a team equivalent to SmackDown, to Raw's, but we'll see. We'll see.
Jay joining, being part of it, I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Like, I don't know if I like it because it kind of takes him out of it's. I think it takes him out of the storyline that he's already in.
Right. But Survivor Series
So
is
him,
only one night, so
I mean, a lot can happen one night. So like,
it can.
it's gonna take away from him being and the team, or him being focused on the team. I think that's. Takes away from whatever's going on. Now it does help him become over more of a breakout star because it may come down to him versus four, or him versus two or three, whatever the situation is where he can become a bigger star than what he was
Right.
and allow people to see him. But I don't know. We'll just like I said, we'll have to see how it works out for that one.
Yeah. I mean, they still got three more people to pick for SmackDown team. They got a few powerhouses on SmackDown after the draft, so we'll see. I don't know what the other three matches are looking like, but hopefully they get, somebody on that team because right now,
I think the next person is going to be Lars. Lars Sullivan
yeah,
will be a part of the SmackDown team.
it makes sense because between him and Keith Lee, those are the really only two people you can have really go up against each other that'll match up. Because I mean, Lars is bad. He's one bad dude, but who else does Raw have to really go up against Lars Sullivan? Like, I think
Well, you got Bobby. Well, now who's the other guy that like picked up? You got Sheamus. Sheamus can hold his own against Lars. Like, so you had Keith Lee. Styles is
not best with Lars.
no. I'm a huge AJ Styles fan. I think he can take down anybody, but
Right.
that's just
No,
me.
I get you. I get you. But have you seen what Lars has done lately in these past few weeks taken out.
Well, no, because he's been in and out. You know, one day he's there, one day he's not there. When, you know,
Right, but
I
the
think.
damage that he done goes noticed. He dropped,
Yeah.
who did he drop? He dropped Jeff Hardy, Miz, and Morrison all at the same time. Like, no problem. I think two of them tried to jump him. Miz and Morrison tried to jump him. He just threw them across the ring. Like, if what's his name? Braun Strowman ain't gonna be a part of it. There's nobody else to really put up against him but somebody Keith Lee size. Because I mean, Lars is big and he's strong, but I really don't see him throwing Keith Lee across the ring. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
he might be able to throw Sheamus because I don't know how much Sheamus weighs, but and I don't know how much Lars bench. But when it comes down to size and power, those are your two powerhouses as far as the Survivor Series team goes. So it'd be in their best interest to put Lars on the team. Just put him on the team. Don't make him fight nobody. Just put him on the team.
No, you gonna have to fight somebody. It might be a squash match, but he'll have to go through somebody to get his spot.
But as long as they put him on there, I think they got some. It'll be a nice Survivor Series this year as far as just the two brands going head to head. We'll see. We'll have to see because right now it's.
Now, I want to get your thoughts on the Aaliyah and Murphy, Seth Rollins, Rey, Mysterio family, and the Rollins thing going on. What are your thoughts on that now? Like, now they're progressing, whereas Aaliyah, she's in love with Murphy after like only knowing him for like 3 weeks.
I mean, it kind of goes back to the common sense fact that we were talking about earlier because when her brother attacked the Messiah, instead of Murphy like just throwing him across the ring and attacking the Messiah himself, why not just help him and show him that, you know what I'm saying, you're not trying to fight him? Instead, you throw him across the ring, which pisses him off. Now he's trying to fight you. You punch him in the face back. That I thought you came out to apologize. Like, it really shows a lot of pointless situations in the No, I didn't. And it just shows a bunch of pointless situations in that scenario itself. You come out to the ring, you're trying to say I'm sorry, you want to apologize, but the chance you actually get to show that you're sorry and you're not the same person, you blow it by fighting them again. It makes no sense.
It's gonna be all like, oh, the heat in the moment type deal. Like, you know, it's just gonna be the heat of the moment, and you know, frustrations were high, and you know, testosterone was high. It's gonna be that type of storyline. Like, I don't know how, like I said, I'm just kind of over this now, and
Me
like
too.
they dragged it on a little bit too long. Now they added the daughter into it. Where it ends, I don't know.
Hopefully soon.
You know, hopefully soon. Hopefully, eventually, one of these pay-per-views, they'll pick a show and they're just like, yo, let's just end it here.
Right. Hopefully it ends, like I said, soon. And, you know, with the Mysterios hopefully being on top at one point, with Dominic's career, you know, just starting, it would be really nice for him to end that storyline with the win over Seth Rollins. I would like to congratulate him on his baby, though.
Oh, they had a kid.
Well, I don't know if they had it yet, but they are, you know, having a baby, so I want to congratulate Seth on that because that's kind of cool. But I don't know. I don't really see him sticking around being the Messiah for too much longer. I feel like he might just end up taking like a leave, especially when his baby's born, for a while and come back a whole different character. He's been like so many characters since I started.
Out of all the characters he's been through so far, you had the Shield, you've had the burn it down guy, now he's the Messiah. Out of all these gimmicks, what do you like the most out of all of Seth Rollins'
I
gimmicks?
like Burn It Down, I'm be honest. He was something to think about when you stepped into that ring and you were gonna fight him. Like he was something serious. Like he seemed more focused to me at that time, especially when he had the belt. He was definitely a factor when it came to wrestling when he was burning down season. Because boy, this whole Messiah thing—I don't even know what he'd be thinking about half the time. I'm like, really? Like,
I personally like the Messiah. Like, I like the Messiah gimmick. I liked it more when he had his own squad, when he had the AOP and he had Buddy Murphy. I liked it more then before, and then he had the other guy they sent to NXT, but I liked the group then and before I said it this one. You know, he's just running him and Murphy by himself, like,
yeah, and
you know, and I was like, all right, but that way before when he was the Messiah with the group, with the whole squad, I
he
liked
was
it, you
definitely
know.
untouchable. AOP was nothing to mess with. I wonder what happened to them. They keep bringing them in and then taking them out and then bringing them in and then taking them out. So I do.
One of them got hurt, and you can't have one without the other, and then they eventually just let them go.
Wow. That was a duo that I was looking to see take over the tag team division. Like, they were serious. Like, they were strong. They were ruthless. Like, they had no remorse for anybody. Like, I was really looking forward to seeing their future.
Yeah, WWE did not really know how to push them. Like, they were created like semi-unstoppable in NXT, but you act like you couldn't recreate that on a whole new
Right.
brand with whole new rosters. You know what I'm saying?
Because
So,
you really don't have
you know,
a tag team right now, as far as the men go, that are unstoppable or indestructible, like you said. Like, you really don't have one. Like, everyone that is a male tag team right now is somebody that can be defeated or somebody that can be beaten. Yeah, you might have the New Day. They hold titles forever and a day, and they are great, but you don't have that one team that, like, everybody's like, oh, okay, this is who we got to fight. Like, all right, we got to cross our T's and dot our I's and make sure we do this one right. Like, you don't have that one tag team where everybody's like, oh yeah, that's that team right there. You just don't have it.
Now, I want to ask you, because at Survivor Series, you're gonna have for the tag and the tag team champions are gonna go against each other. You got the New Day versus the Street Profits. Now, I just want to know which one do you like better, the Profits or the New Day?
I'm gonna be honest, man. I can't answer that question. I like both
I
teams.
put you. This is your time to shine. I put you on the spot. You got the New Day. It's been around for a hot minute. They still, you know, kicking together. And then you got the new tag team, which would be, you know, the Street Profits.
Right.
Now, I'm gonna give you my pick. I personally like the Street Profits better than the New Day. I've never really been a big fan of the New Day since even when they first started. I was never really feeling it.
Okay.
And then they just became even more corny to me with the bootios and the
Yeah, all
pancakes.
that's a little extra. I definitely don't like all the extra gimmicks that they have the New Day do. I feel like personally that a lot of the black superstars, they at some point in their career in WWE, they got to find something fruity for them to do. Like, whatever, okay, I guess. But I just, as far as a team goes, as far as wrestling, as far as in the ring, they both have really good credit when it comes to me. Like, I've seen both teams hash it out through a lot of stuff between a lot of different teams. And I mean, the New Day, they've been together a lot longer, but I feel like the Street Profits, they have like a bond that just can't be broken or stopped. So I feel like this is going to be a really good match because their team levels are going to be equal. They both been with their teammate for mad long. They both look at each other as family. They know each other's moves, frontwards, backwards, sideways. They're always there to help the other. Like, they both have, like, when it comes to all the qualities they have, they both match up all the way to the top. What's going to matter in this match is who can last longer. That's what's going to matter. Who can kick out more? Who can last longer? Who can take more punishment? And at the end of the day, I think that's going to be the New Day.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say Street Profits now, and even when we do our predictions, I think I'm gonna run with the Street. I don't know I'm gonna run with the Street Profits because the Street Profits have a size guy with moderate speed. Then you got the speedy guy with the agility,
Yeah.
and the New Day have just a bunch of speedy guys except for Big E, but he's not he's not with the group anymore. He's on SmackDown
Right.
doing his thing. So is this gonna be Kofi and Creed versus, you know, these two? And I'm gonna give it to the Street Profits. I like this. So for me, I like the Street Profits energy when they come with their theme music. When their theme music actually hits, I'm actually like bobbing and weaving into it. And like Montez for me is like he's the most charismatic on the group. He does all the dancing and the smoke, and we want the smoke gimmick and all that. Like I just like all that I've resonated with over with the New Day. With
that's how I got a high five from him. He had just won the match. It was the end of NXT, and he was running around the ring. Everybody was sticking their hand out, so I was like, I'm gonna stick my hand out too. And I actually got a high five. I felt so good. I bragged about it for weeks.
So I think that's what I'm gonna. I think if I had to pick anybody, I'm gonna pick Profits, who I like better. I know briefly they did a promo, and I think Carmella was the new female actor, female that they were bringing back or something like that with a new gimmick. Just stop the madness. Just stop. Like, I'm just like, that would be really, really
right.
Like, I'm thinking it's a whole new person, but you just repackaged Carmella. And I'm like,
did you see her face Friday? She got worked
on. I did, man. I was kind of like, I don't like bringing, like, for me, I'm not big on bringing up personal stuff, but you know, it's WWE, I'm giving you a heads up right now. It's probably not going to work. Whatever you have planned for her, once again, she is a superstar that, to me, she would have been better in the Divas era than what we got going on right now.
You don't have a lot of acting like her right now, trying to be pretty and all that stuff. Like, yeah, you got Mandy Rose, but even she's not more focused on her looks than what's going on in the ring. So it's like, you're the only one, so...
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not really, it's killing my buzz right now. Like, sit back and watch that. So, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm really not feeling it.
All right. Next prediction. Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley.
I'm going with Sami. He gonna cheat himself a dub, but we normally do an episode with all the predictions, so we're not gonna waste those predictions right now.
I'm gonna just say I'm gonna pray for Bobby to win.
I mean, he might win, but I think Sammy got some type of some tricks up his sleeve.
No, he do. He always do. Always.
But listen, we want to thank you. Coming on the show. I want to thank you for coming on the show and being with me. The supervisor was out disciplining. The cartel's out being part of the cartel. So I had to run it with you tonight, and you held your own, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Not a problem.
Hope to see you again back on the next, hope to talk to you again on the next episode. Tune in, guys, for the next episode coming up. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to the show so you know when the next episode drops. We are on all platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any podcast that you're listening from, or you can listen to us on Anchor. That's another way you can listen to us also. We also want to just hope you enjoy the show for the most part, and we will be back again in the next couple of weeks. You guys have a great night or a great day whenever you're listening to it.
Night.